Online Journal, June 8th, by Larry Chen. You can see see this up at Infowars.com, called New Presidential Directive Gives President Dictatorial Power. That's a little bit of the old news, but let's see what, in effect, takes place when one assumes the mantle of a Hitler. Let's see what's going on in this country right now. Well, we have a supposedly a situation where two individuals, Ed and Elaine Brown, who have asked the IRS repeatedly to show them in court and also in writing and personally to show them what law requires them or any United States citizen to pay income taxes. That was never provided to them, and then consequently in the courts, we're in the tax court, you are guilty until proven innocent, because that court deals with a Puerto Rican corporation called the Internal Revenue Service, which is not necessarily a part of the United States government, but is in fact, according to Treasury Agent Joe Bannister, a part of a foreign corporation which collects the vigorish or interest payments for the Federal Reserve Bank and those who own it, which is also a private corporation. And that ensures that they get their vigorish or interest paid on the debt that is being run up daily to the tune of about $3 billion by the United States government. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, the Browns protested their tax situation. And then in a country where even an axe murderer gets kid glove treatment when he's arrested, you have a situation that took place in the last few days where fixed-wing aircraft were used, six armored personnel carriers, multiple helicopters, even probably a Global Hawk, and where you have a situation where, by golly, you have somebody at the top of the food chain in the United States government is actually directing this, and that's per Jack McLam, who did a portion of a show on Alex Jones today, live with the Browns, Ed and Elaine, live also with two reporters who were on the scene for Alex Jones, Infowars.com, Luke Radowski, and a guy named Matt Lepasek. Lepasek, interestingly enough, I'll talk about it in a little bit further. But anyway, my idea here is to show what's actually going on, where we have the president overseas talking about democracy and all of the wonderful benefits of it, lecturing Putin about how Russia doesn't have a democratic system and how Putin is taking away rights and that type of thing. Meanwhile, in the United States, you have Global Hawks, you have fixed-wing aircraft, and you have helicopters going over. Anyway, I'm going to read part of this article right here. This is by Steve Watson, Infowars.net. You can also see it on Prison Planet. InfoWars reporters Luke Radowski and Matt Lepasek bravely entered the property of income tax protesters Ed and Elaine Brown in Plainfield, New Hampshire, as it continues to be surveilled by armed and camouflaged U.S. Marshals operating in the area with APCs. And they went there to shoot video and to document the scene, basically because the mainstream media has blacked it out. Radowski joined Alex Jones in the air today with the Browns and also expert correspondent Jack McLam. Jack McLam, as many people know, was the former Phoenix top police officer who, along with Colonel Bo Greitz, helped to end the Ruby Ridge siege up there where they shot Juan Horiuchi, the famed FBI sniper, killed Vicki Weaver and also Vicki Weaver's son, and then shot the dog and all kind of different things, the marshals, and they had hundreds and hundreds of federal intel people, federal agency people, cops, troops, everything there, and it was the siege that started the, frankly, the militia movement inside the United States along with Waco. Well, anyway, McLam and Greitz brought out the children and also Randy Weaver, which then, since that time, won a case in court against the federal government for what they did there to him and got paid reparations, which he gave to his kids. Anyway, McLam was on, and then the Browns were on, and Alex Jones was on as well. Here's some of the things that were talked about doing. the officers told the Associated Press that the show of force, which basically included setting up roadblocks more than a mile around, evacuating all the neighbors, cutting the Browns' phone and power lines, and jamming the Wi-Fi and the Internet, and then also that they deployed six helicopters along with a SWAT team and six more APCs to serve a warrant. Well, basically, the article here says, these are blatant lies, and any who is capable of holding one thought in their head knows this. The siege began 3 days ago when the Browns' property was overflown first by two small biplanes and then by a surveillance drone. Now, Ed Brown believes it was a Global Hawk based upon pictures of it, and he also says that it was flying at approximately 5,000 feet, not a 50,000 feet that some people in the mainstream press were describing, and that it was shining a bright light down on their house and the land in the vicinity. Basically, the power was shut off that night, the phone lines were cut, and then yesterday morning, one of the friends of the Browns, a guy named Danny Riley, woke up. He said he got coffee. He was also on the program today, and he was walking the dog down a path from the house into like a little wooded area down a little path, and he encountered a team of special operations agents of the federal marshals hiding out in ghillie suits in trees along the property. He said that he was told to freeze. He basically said he was in fear for his life. He did not know who they were. And he turned and ran back towards the house, and then he got shot at. Basically, what happened was that one of the snipers shot two rounds past his ear, and then he was told to get to the ground, which he then did. And then, as about 12 of these men surrounded him with ghillie suits on and painted faces, basically then he was tasered while he was laying prostrate on the ground. And then they handcuffed him and took him back to a garage. He said that then they threatened him and told him that if he ever discussed any of this, the truth of it, who arrested him or what happened with the media, that he would go to prison for 15 years. And that they wanted him to go back to the house and lie and say that he was arrested by two state police officers who were just down at the gate or down at the mailbox to serve a warrant. It reminds me of how they tried to trick Randy Weaver to go down to the mailbox at one point in time, in his case, the Ruby Ridge case, and then he never went down there, and so then they started to go on up. So the state police, the marshals, the FBI, apparently also state police, not only from New Hampshire, but also from Maine and Massachusetts, which made this a multi-state jurisdictional task force, which Mr. Brown points out is in violation of the 10th Amendment, unless you live in a world where you have a dictatorship and that the president runs the entire thing. So consequently, what we have here is we have a virtual army of special operations agents who were trying to stalk up on the house, and then Dan Riley walked down the path and interrupted their little program, which was probably to snipe at the Browns and shoot them as they walked past a window or something like that. One could also surmise that if that didn't work and if that any fire had been returned or something like that, not knowing who's shooting at you, one might tend to put some rounds down range where the fire came from. Well, then, quite frankly, they could have possibly burned the house out or dropped gasoline like they had a platter to do and they had threatened to do at Randy Weaver, and like they did at Waco when they burnt Waco to the ground. It wasn't old Koresh kicking over a lantern, I guarantee you that. So it was ferret rounds going through walls that then ignited material and then started the compound on fire. Basically, then I'll just continue here a little bit. He said they threatened him with 15 years in imprisonment. Then they tried to get him to go back up to the house and lie. And then also they also wanted him to turn Brown and bring him back down, which he didn't do or refused to do. And then if you heard any of this today, he also said then that they told him to tell the story that it was just some state police who were trying to serve a warrant and that that's who had arrested him. They then basically took him back to garage. They talked to him quite some time. They interviewed him. They told him that they would take him back up to the house. He could get his stuff. and he could walk back up there, but if he stayed, then he would his life would never be worth a darn anymore, or something to that effect. Ed Brown describes the scene as he heard it this morning. He said, "All of a sudden, I heard two shots. The dog came tearing down the drive and went into the house right by me. Riley walked into a total of 12 Black Ops team members. He was exposed or clandestine op. They told him to freeze, and he turned and ran." He says, this is Ed Brown, says that meant their intention was to kill us. If they were going to kill an unarmed man at the end of my driveway, they meant to kill us. And he said, this means they have lied to us, and they have no honor. Now, Jack McGlam popped out. He said, if you're using Global Hawks and helicopters and you've got a multi-jurisdictional task force, a federal marshal, FBI, state police from two or three venues, and possibly some military assets, then he said, this is coming from the top of our government with the use of high-powered drones and the like. He says, we've got to try and think about what they're trying to do with this. And then McLam says, are they trying to provoke us into an armed revolution where then Bush can, in effect, invoke full martial law powers? That was what McLam's thoughts were. And then McLam also had strong words for the local sheriff who has reportedly skipped town or is unavailable or has left the city while all this is going on in his county. And here's Jack McLam's quote to Sheriff Prozo. He said, I want to say to Sheriff Prozo, you are a coward because we sent you proof showing that you are the sovereign power to protect the people in that county. You're not out of town. Stand up and take command of the situation and protect this family that has done nothing criminal. Get out of your hiding place. That was McLam to the local Sheriff Prozo in that New Hampshire county. Ed Brown then also revealed that the U.S. Marshals involved are working with the Massachusetts and Maine State Police in violation of the 10th Amendment. Brown asserted that he will not surrender his liberty and that he had choice words for his elite stalkers, and these words are, I will read in quotes, "For all intents and purposes, there is no law and order anymore in this country. We don't have a warrior class, people. You are a bunch of cowards using omnipotent tactics like the KGB did. We are through talking with these people nationwide, not just me and my wife. It's too late already. If anything happens to us, we will be reciprocal. We will protect the sake of our community and our nation as we are obligated under the Constitution to protect this nation. If they wish to take our lives and send us to the Creator, it will do far more damage to them. That's why all the safeties are off all around the property, and they can come in whenever they like." And then Ed's wife, Elaine, echoed his sentiments and sent a clear message to the American patriots everywhere. "Don't believe anything they tell you," she quotes here, "because they lie. For months, Gary Martino, the U.S. Marshal, has continued to assure us that they had no intention to come in here and raid us. The entire judicial system is a department of injustice. There are no courts left. The only time they observe the law is when it is to their advantage. We are with the Lord and the Lord's laws. We have turned our back on the courts and man's laws because they only worked to man's advantage." That was her quote. She said, also, "Americans need to stand up. All that is needed for evil to abound is for good people to do nothing. Get up and stand up. Say no. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated. Learn the law. Learn your rights. Our children have been sold to slavery. Boycott, boycott, boycott." And by that they meant, as Ed Brown clarified, don't pay the taxes. Just refuse to do it. Refuse to go along with all these things they're trying to tell you to do. And just do not do it. Stand up, be counted, be free. Enjoy your liberty. Use what you were promised and given in the Constitution that real people fought and died for against British power so long ago. Anyway, Browns then have told the InfoWars that they are very much at peace and that they do not fear what lies ahead. Elaine Brown delivered a final stark and moving message on the radio, by the way, people. She said, "I want everyone to remember us, and we will see you on the other side." The two reporters, Rudowski and Lapasic, stayed on for a while, and then they had Danny Riley come on after that. And then I would say, ladies and gentlemen, that what you need to do is give a call to your congressman and tell them what is going on there. Call the New Hampshire State Police. Call the governor of New Hampshire and let them know that you do not want to see the Browns killed in a raid, and that shots have already been fired. Just to verify again, they already fired shots, although they fired them by the ear of Danny Riley as he ran off. They did fire shots on that property, and yet the government is lying and telling the media there that they had no intentions. It was just a precautionary measure. Well, they had the boys and the gillies going up to hunt, and they were hunting men and women in the Browns' house, and they were going to kill them. Now, Jack McGlam pointed out that if these guys are so foolish and so evil and so stupid to do this, and if they martyr the Browns, that they will make rise up in the country a movement that rose up just as it did during the Ruby Ridge and Waco sieges, and that if they wish to start this war again, then America will respond in kind. So basically that's the thoughts of McLam, and then Alex Jones, I thought, did a good job getting the Browns up there today and do it. Now, I'm just going to address a couple items. You can go up to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and look at that. Basically, there was another article that was written today that was by a gentleman named Joseph Plummer. I saw it on StopTheLie.com, Defend America, StopTheLie.com. And he said, do people deserve to die because they refuse to pay taxes to a corrupt and criminal government? And he said, when armed men representing that corrupt and criminal government show up on your property with the intent to capture or kill you, do you not have the right to defend yourself and your family? Those who serve the system, he says, those willing to kill nonviolent citizens for refusing to submit are little more than mercenaries. They are hired guns. They become criminals themselves. He said there are an estimated 100 million armed Americans. The criminal elite are terrified of this fact. There is only so much money you can pay somebody, only so much that money will buy in the support of tyranny. The supply of willing servants to support the tyranny dwindles with every ounce of justified lethal resistance. Now, that is from the gentleman I just said, StopTheLie.com, and his name was Joe Plummer. That was a very cogent comment, I thought, today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this country was formed in a revolutionary act, and we were given freedoms that basically were enumerated of what God had already given us. The Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen, supposedly still exists, and we have a president who is overseas talking about great democracy and all how wonderful it is. Meanwhile, back in this country, the things are not going that way. Things are going into the dictatorship. You have all kind of agencies who have been proven now already to have been wiretapping everything in the United States. We have data from insiders that discussed the case out in San Francisco that was in court, where entire telecommunications companies, AT&T and others, and I could tell you that almost all of them are involved based on my own personal experience, where they basically have been given the entire pipe of the Internet, the entire pipe of all the phone systems, and then all of that passes through their little room or their little cubicle in every one of the major telecommunications companies' hives. Some supposedly didn't give them the information or allow them access. Personally, I do not believe that, and it's my opinion that the entire thing has been given over and that it is being done and that every single thing is being filtered. First Fruits, for the cognoscenti out there, the RIPE network, the all these different networks that are in existence, APNIC, all these others, are basically able to filter everything. So, yeah, sure, maybe it's the boys on Men with Hill who listen in here, or the boys in Brisbane or Pine Gap who listen here, and then we listen to their people, but I'm going to tell you, it is more than that. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have that experience. I don't understand it. Well, if you're still on dial-up and you could run your traces better, you could see it. If you're on the fast services, the DSLs and the Roadrunners, quite frankly, everything you do on the net goes through their pipe anyway, and they don't have to attempt to hack you. They have it all. If you're still on the dial-up, then you can still do traces on a McAfee or any of the other privacy networks and see where you're getting stuff from, and you would be quite amazed at who is accessing what you do or attempting to hack your computer. Or, as perhaps in the case of George Ure today, UrbanSurvival.com, and also his Independence Journal, and another website. They were all taken down by someone. Quite frankly, I would say that they're not being taken down by some little kiddie scripter somewhere. I would think they're being taken down because there's too much truth and also perhaps too much half-past human or the webbot information being put there, which is also apparently from everything I can see starting really to come true, albeit, you know, in different fashions and what have you than what it's exactly said. But there's a lot of match-up with what the bots are saying and then what is taking place as we go through the days here. Now, we also, in talking with Steve, we had a lot of individuals who listened to the tremendous third interview last night of Dr. Steve Pasenik. I would urge everybody to check his biography out. This gentleman is a full-blooded insider who has worked for four different presidents, including this president, current president's father. He's worked as an undersecretary of state or assistant secretary of state, and he has been the crisis manager and psychological warfare officer that has participated in most of the large crises that have taken place in the last four presidencies or five presidencies. He still works as an independent citizen, and he no longer works for the government, but he still works in order to try to preserve. And if you heard him last night or the time before that or the time before that in the three interviews, you heard him speak very, very plainly for somebody with the bona fides and the level of experience that he has had. This gentleman has worked, as he said, in order to bring about change in this country, to bring this country back and to restore it to what I would be described as a constitutional republic. Because of that, he has been targeted and being basically threatened to be arrested for treason. And I would urge all of you that if you have the archives to go back and actually listen to the archives again, I would also urge you to download it in talking to Steve. You can download that. Let other people hear that message. Let them hear it. Perhaps Steve Melching could create a CD where all three of the interviews of Dr. Steve Pasenik could be burned onto a CD and perhaps offer that for a nice price to where if somebody doesn't have the capability to use this, take that information and get it out to everybody. I've never heard a man at that level of government speak so much truth and speak so soundly and so right on the key. Now, to wit on that, there's been some people who have been quite alarmed by what he had to say. I would tell you this, Dr. Pasenik's in his audience, there's two audiences that he basically looked at. I think, and this is my opinion, but correct me if I'm wrong, I think that Dr. Pasenik wanted to reach those in the high military and intelligence circles and also people in the field to let them know that there is something going on to try to change the bad problems that are occurring, where you have a United States being sold down the drain, where you have a Marine and Army, an entire military and the National Guard that are being attrited, that men are being killed, attrited, and that equipment is being attrited and just basically being worn out, where you have a situation where, quite frankly, the Army and Navy and the Air Force and all the different reserves could not defend the country because a lot of the personnel and a larger portion of the equipment are sitting in Iraq. Even recently, Schwarzenegger complained that all of the equipment that was sent with the Guard and Reserves that were from California that were serving over there, none of the equipment came back. So what are they supposed to do if there is an emergency, if there is an earthquake, say, in Northern California or the Pacific Northwest? If, as we see a huge event like Cumbre Vieja, if somebody blows that shelf off, or if there is a massive tsunami coming at the East Coast or the West Coast because of some event, how would the people, you know, where would the equipment come from to do all the things that you might consider to be necessary in that type of emergency for them to do, you know, to haul food, to haul water, to rescue people, to build dams, to shore up things? Quite frankly, none of that equipment or very little of it is here, and even with that respect, the man who's in charge of all the reserves basically stated that in the last few days in a report to where he said that basically they could not, with the funding they have and also what's going on, they could not complete the mission of completely defending the United States because they don't have the equipment. Now, Dr. Pasenik, the people objected to certain aspects of that last night and were quite alarmed by it. I would urge those people to look at the entire interview, to listen to all of it, and then Dr. Pasenik spoke for Dr. Pasenik. Steve Quayle allowed him the opportunity to do the interview because he wanted to get and let you hear the inside, what really is going on in terms of a factional fight with inside this military, intelligence community, and government. And also to point out, I would say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that all of the scenarios of what's broken, what needs to be fixed, were right on and 100% down the line. Now, some people objected to certain aspects of it. Well, basically, I would tell you this. Look at the whole cloth of those three interviews, and then, yes, Dr. Pasenik tried to reach some people, and then it may not be as meant as much for you as it is for others. He did state last night, or basically, that Americans should protest. They should go to the streets and basically protest. They should call their congressmen. They should do something. Take one day out a week. Try to make things right. Get your voice heard. Get active. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, as over the years, I've always thought we needed to do two things. I've always thought we had two tiers. We needed to try to resist evil and to resist the things that were going wrong and to try to create and to restore the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and to restore the Republic that has been stolen from you. And on the other hand, I thought we always needed to prepare for the time to where it all hits the fan, so to speak, and whether it be from enemies, foreign or domestic. And quite frankly, with what's going on right now, there seems to be as much threat from domestic situations as there is from foreign. Although, as Dr. Pasenik pointed out in all three of those interviews, he did state repeatedly in each of the three interviews that the current regime will false flag and use a false flagged event, possibly nuclear, possibly something else that would be of such a horrendous nature, and then try and blame that upon Iran so they could go and attack Iran. Also, you could include Syria with that or possibly Venezuela, so they could be equal opportunity as far as who the false flag would blame, or perhaps you go for all of them. I reported last week that based on the information I had, that there may have been an interdiction of Victor Papa X-Ray Bravo, basically Victor Papa's special bomb. This could be possibly the type of situation, maybe a gambit that was described by Ken Welch with regards to the Easter surprise 2 years ago and also the Easter surprise this past year, which was discussed as well. Also, that the fact that this may have been used or attempted to be used during the Lebanon conflict when the Israelis were fighting in Lebanon last year against the Hezbollah, and basically, suffice to say, I'll stand by that based on my information of that. Now, we've also had a situation where, quite frankly, a whole lot of discussion has been going on with regards to Turkey. The newspapers basically have been in a situation to where they have not been covering the story at all, and Debka says anywhere between 50 and 90,000 troops are on that Turkish border. Steve, I run a little bit long. Why don't we cut to a commercial and do a little commercial? Pause for the cause.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve from Renaissance Precious Metals. For the first time in 20 years, gold has breached the $700 per ounce level, while silver has touched over $15 per ounce. Now is the time to avoid the greatest financial meltdown in the world's history by acquiring precious and strategic metals before an international bidding war drives the precious metal prices to unimagined levels. With a national debt of over $9 trillion headed to $10 trillion very soon, the world's populations are starting to flee the U.S. dollar in a total pre-panic rush for the door. Russia, China, Norway, Sweden, and many Middle Eastern countries have all announced their desire to exchange their natural resources for currencies other than U.S. dollars. Will you be out of harm's way when the major U.S. dollar devaluation explodes? Give me a call at 406-586-4840. That's 406-586-4840. Renaissance Precious Metals. It's no secret that knowledge is power, and not a day goes by without someone wanting to cut your free access to the Internet, or worse, shut you down from knowing the true perils that we are now facing in this country. Whether they're economic, moral, physical, or spiritual, the folks at Radiolab have some of the best prices on shortwave radios in the country. And with their Super Sangean 909 modification, they have taken a great shortwave radio and made it even better. Those of you who don't buy the mainstream media's control press information know that shortwave radio will be the only way to keep informed when the Internet goes down and when the global puppet masters finally implement their total information cutoff. Give Radiolabs a call at 877-575-3700. That's 877-575-3700. And be sure to check out their complete line of Wi-Fi antennas and their other great products.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I told you it was a shade rusty from not having done this show for about 6 months. So basically, let's get right back to it. So in the Turkish Kurdistan border, which is Iraq, basically, as Depka has reported and others reported, there is now a general staff in Ankara has imposed 3 months of martial law on its border region with Iraq and has closed the region airspace to civilian flights. There's been an outbreak of fierce battles between the Turkish army and the Kurdish PKK rebels on both sides. And there is also a Turkish Black Hawk helicopter was shot down over Iraq and several tanks have been hit. There's heavy casualties. None of this is being reported. You ought to call up your local news channel and say, how come you're not reporting the war in Iraq where the Turks have invaded to into the Kurdistan area? And by the way, this took place just recently, and then apparently it took place immediately after the Bilderberg meeting, which was just held in Istanbul, and so somebody gave the green light. But I would say this also is that on June 2nd, Depka File reported that the U.S. troops had been withdrawn from northern Iraq, and they passed responsibility for the region's security onto the Iraqi Kurdish Peshmerga. Basically, Masoud Barzani, who was Iraq Kurdistan's president, sent to Ankara a personal emissary, and he warned the Turkish that tanks would not be allowed to cross into northern Iraq. The Kurdish Peshmerga would repel them. The people of Kurdistan, said the messenger, would not stand by as spectators if Turkish tanks and panzers enter Kirkuk. I won't belabor that anymore, other than that, basically, if you heard Dr. Bosenek last night, you heard an excellent review of what's really going on there, considering that he also had had dinner in Istanbul with one of the highest level people in the Turkish government and ask him several questions. So I would urge you to listen to that again. Get the archives from Steve Melching, folks. They're a great resource, and then you'll be able to hear anything if you missed it or to go back and listen to it. Now, just quickly, a couple other items in the Middle East. There's a report out of Jerusalem that Olmert, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, has tentatively offered the Golan Heights to give them back to Syria if Damascus will cut its ties with Iran and end support for Palestinian terror groups. Now, this has been quite controversial, and to say the least, the Syrian Golan Heights were taken by Israel in the 67 war, and they are the high ground that basically looks down on either Syria, or if the Syrians had it, looks down onto Israel, and they are very strategically placed, and for him to offer this back is, according to other people in the Knesset, is basically in an attempt to try to save his own skin. To quote here one of the Knesset members, Ehud Olmert would sell the Golan Heights for his seat. He is trying to save his own skin in a statement regarding withdrawal from the Golan is a desperate attempt to survive, said National Union Party Chairman Zevalin Orlev. Here's another one. The Golan will not be sold like Gush Katif, said Orlev, referring to the slate of Gaza Strip Jewish communities the Jewish state evacuated in 2005. So Olmert has quite a bit of problems within his own country, and quite frankly, I would ask this question. When all of the Luciferians go to the same meetings and take orders, is Olmert there? I don't know. You ask that question. See what the Lord tells you. Basically, very interesting in terms of that. I'm going to go on to right now on the gold because I've got a lot of material here to cover. And Steve asked me specifically to touch on the gold prices, on the economy, and the silver and what's going on in the markets. Well, here we have, according to Bloomberg, J.P. Morgan states that gold may rise to more than 1,000 an ounce as demand from India, China, and exchange-traded fund increases and the production of precious metal falls. And that's J.P. Morgan Chase, the third largest bank in the United States. Now, if you read J.S. Mindset, Jim Sinclair's website, M-I-N-E-S-E-T, jsmindset.com, you can get filled in on a lot of this. But he said basically, here's what happened. You have the article that comes out from J.P. Morgan, the report where they're saying that gold could touch 1,000. You also have many of the larger banks having taken delivery on June contracts here, to the amount of, let's see, I've got to figure it's so many millions of ounces or so many contracts. Can't find that right at this point in time, but many of the large money center banks have taken delivery guys on their stuff. Go up and read Jim Sinclair and read what he has to say about it. And basically what's happening and what Steve and I discussed today was that after this thing came out from J.P. Morgan, that quite frankly, that was a response then immediately by Paulson and Bernanke to hammer the metals down and pop the dollar up to make everything look great. And that kicked in all the black boxes. And with the bond market having, the long bond having totally destructed and deteriorated, everybody is selling it when in fact they should be holding it, and when also in fact the money center banks are buying and taking delivery on the physical gold and silver. I'll tell you, folks, in the very near future, all wealth is going to be only what you've got in your hands. It's going to be physical possession is the key, not some report from somewhere in a distant land or off a computer that says you've got X dollars. It's going to be what you've got to hand, and I would urge you right now to consider calling Steve up, getting right, taking a portion of your money based on what's occurring, and put it into gold and silver, platinum, palladium. Gold closed at $645.60. They hammered it down $14.40. They hammered silver down 40 cents. They hammered platinum down $7, but palladium was up. The Russians control palladium, so palladium was up $2. Now, I will also point out that the Dow Jones, based on the Minneapolis inflation calculator that the Federal Reserve Minneapolis has, and George Uris pointed out several times on his UrbanSurvival.com, that if the Dow to be equal in purchasing power to what it was in 2000, the Dow has to be at $14,000 just to be equal in purchasing power to what it was in 2000 at its peak prior to the bust of the dot-coms and then prior to 9/11. So we are not, in terms of the Dow's purchasing power, even close to what it was back then as yet. Now, although it did go up today and they boosted it up as well along with the dollar, you can see exactly what I'm saying because basically anybody who was invested in the Dow at that point in 2000, they have lost money if they've got it today at the same level of purchasing power. So consequently, go up, take a look, give Steve a call, let him talk to you about it, let him go ahead and get you set up as quickly as you can because quite frankly, another reason these guys hammer these markets down with all the big boys now buying back in is they want you to sell yours so they can buy it on the cheap. They can buy your gold, your silver on the cheap And then once they get to buying it, it all dries up pretty quick. Then what do you think the price goes to, ladies and gentlemen? Then where do you see what's going to go down? Now, also today we have a great situation to where the defense secretary just happened to, or should I say, from what I understand on the backside, is that Dick Cheney basically fired the Joint Chiefs Chairman Pace, and then because of also it would be backward-looking rather than forward-looking, they got rid of his number two or one of the deputies today as well, and that the replacements basically have been chosen by Defense Secretary Gates or by Oil Incorporated Dove Hunter. Basically, they have named an admiral, and basically he's Admiral Mike Mullen, and he's currently the Naval's Chief Naval Officer. He's going to be the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And this is going to be the first time in 21 years that both the head of the Joint Chiefs and the CENTCOM commander, Admiral William Fallon, have been Navy officers. So here you have a situation where, as you heard Dr. Bishenik discuss it last night, if you listen to the whole thing, you see you have a situation to where the Army and the Marines and the different people are no longer trusting or believing in what's going on with this administration, with this president and vice president, and where they're taking and leading the country. Consequently, you see an immediate situation to where a change is going to be made, and I would urge the Navy to start reading what the Constitution and Bill of Rights is again, and then be careful about who you work for and what you do. I have no problem if everything is being done as a president's powers align them to do, and we have tremendous amount of difficulty in the world, but most of this difficulty has been created by one thing after the other. I mean, you know, who did 9-1-1, ladies and gentlemen? Who did it? Well, Tatiana Khorasny has said that it was a group of men with assets totaling over $300 trillion that involved the highest-level people in secret societies, including death head societies or skull and bone societies, and a mixture of organized crime and other people in other governments. And then Tatiana Khorasny said that this went to the highest level of the United States government. Well, as everybody's known, if you paid any attention to any of the 9-1-1 truth movement, quite frankly, it's pretty evident, is it not? Now, the immigration bill, which was just going to be ducky, they were going to give all these people basically amnesty, and you can go on into it and read the bill for itself. It was basically pulled out of the Senate because it was going to basically fail. So the people who are pushing it, in spite of the fact that all their constituents in the United States were not up for this bill at all, and then nobody had ever done any of the impact in terms of what it was going to cost. Basically, some of the think tanks to the impact was going to cost trillions of dollars to pass this bill because of the percentage of the people who would then be automatically added on to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and welfare. And you can look up the own percentage yourself as to who what percentages of the illegal aliens are taking of it. We've had a whole lot of people that can tell you that they can't get certain things or Medicaid paid for, but somebody, as long as they're from out of the country and entered this country breaking a law of the United States, which the United States has not been enforcing its laws, this president is not. No president since Reagan has enforced them at all. The border is still not secure. You complain, all you mid-level guys in the intel agencies, everything, that they're letting all the people in the back door. Well, by God, it urged somebody to stop the border and to put the fence up. They only put up 11 miles of the 840 authorized by Congress. So let's do that. Let's bring our troops home and put them on the border and stop this invasion that's already occurring in the United States against our land, taking our benefits, taking our jobs. Did you ever stop and think that if the troops came home, what type of jobs they might have? Do you think everybody saved their jobs for them? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think you're whistling Dixie if you think they did. Now, if this wasn't enough reason to keep preparing, and also to perhaps take, if you have prepared, take the second track and start to begin to actively protest evil and to stand against evil in this country and to stand for God, to stand for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Isn't that the oath that everybody in the military takes, or supposedly the oath that people take when they become president? So if they have violated that oath, then where are we at, ladies and gentlemen? Where is that heading to? You draw your own conclusions. Now, if that wasn't enough, as I said, to keep preparing, and by that I mean to get food, water, medical supplies, ammunition, firearms, all of the equipment you might need to camp out for the next 20 years, where groceries will not be available. But anyway, at least I would urge people to have 2 years to 3 years of food if they can, and then whatever they can have based on their income and their ability to do it, get anything anyone can is better than no can at all of food. Any one pack of ammunition to make sure your home is protected and that you don't have to let somebody to rape or to kill your family when the fat lady sings, anything that you can get now is going to be beneficial. But in terms of other things that look like they're on the horizon here, ladies and gentlemen, you had 142 mile per hour winds. You think this climate, the weather's not changed? This was over northwest metro Denver yesterday. They had ground gusts at the surface as high as 92 miles per hour. And then you had all kind of storms. Tonight, I understand the shortwave, there are storms in the Ohio area and in the Pennsylvania area that have been hitting some of the transponders or the uplinks that have precluded it, and so we're doing a little landline, I think, tonight on the shortwave as well. But here's another one. Indonesia, the officials from their Avian Flu Commission today, get this, people, heads up, they state that the H5N1 avian influenza may in fact have mutated in a way that makes it more transmissible from birds to humans. All right, ladies and gentlemen, food for thought on that. All I can tell you is that this is going like 1,000 trains all at the same junction. Of course, the United States trains go at 120 miles per hour, while the Chinese trains and the others go at 200 miles per hour like maglevs do. Why can't we have a maglev train in the United States? Why couldn't it run from St. Louis to L.A., St. Louis, Kansas City, Denver, and on to Los Angeles be possible? Why couldn't you run one from Chicago to New Orleans, like the old Panama City Limited and those used to do when they were the king of trains on the planet, when they were the fast trains? Why don't we take the trillions of dollars that we're spending on this one area too far when we go in to attempt to grab the Iraqi oil, which seems to benefit Halliburton and those people as much as anything, where we've got a war being run by the oil boys in Houston, and then also directed by Luciferians in high places. What if we had spent that money on the infrastructure of the United States and hired U.S. citizens, hired people in some of the major cities who are the unemployed black teenager, the 54-year-old guy who can't get a job anymore, the young white kid who can't get a job, the young Hispanic kid who are American citizens who can't be hired because, well, my lands, they might actually want minimum wage or want a little something that would be able to help them to actually feed a family and to buy gasoline at over $3 a gallon. And incidentally, it's still going to go over $4, I guarantee it, by the end of the summer. Now, just to touch lightly and to leave it at the end, some people have come to my attention have been sort of attacking my information and me on certain forums and blogs and this type of thing. I normally don't pay much attention to it, but I just thought I would ask this question because it was very specific. I had mentioned in an article and also a while back to where I had decent information and very good information that an Iranian quiet diesel sub with a Chinese wrapper, say this, so to speak, a Chinese stealth wrapper or system that allowed them to run silent, got a little too close. and that from based on military traffic and certain things heard and other information from people close to this situation that this sub was aligned and possibly connected to the Yugoslavian jihadi boys who were caught at Fort Dix, and the real story that took place there, which never fully came out. Well, that information was very good intel, and all I can say is this: the person who says that I didn't have the information correct says that they had a ham that logged the latitude and longitude of said transmissions, and that those latitude and longitude were there. Well, I would like to know who gave him the satellite data, and who does he work for that he's able to get satellite data, because, quite frankly, the military do not position themselves or give their latitude and longitude on radio catches, so no ham has ever heard, and without a satellite or some sophisticated data to track that transmission down in terms of where it's located at, then that individual who says that, I just wonder, you know, where they get that information or who pays them to put that out. And be that as may, ladies and gentlemen, keep prepping. Call Steve. Try and get in on the last run, I think, of what you'll find will be one of the last opportunities to buy gold and silver alone. It might go down a little bit further or to get it at a decent price, I mean. But get everything you can. The food is still disappearing. The ammunition is still going out through the roof. Prices have gone up. There are shortages. Most of the ammunition capacity of the major ammunition makers is being contracted by the military. Most of the MREs, the Mountain House, all the different things. And there are great suppliers. There are two of them there that I know of on the banner that have still access to excellent quality protein, Mountain House, freeze-dried foods, and other items that you might need very, very soon. I do think, as Steve says, that this summer will be just an incredibly bad summer, and it will go into fall. I think you're seeing right now, as the bots have alluded to and George has discussed, that there's going to be some definite trouble coming for the dollar. It is already there. If they weren't pumping it out, I think it would be flushed. And I think you will see that all the attempts they try to do to make it stay up artificially, I think you're going to see it. The long bond has collapsed, ladies and gentlemen. The enemies are at the gate, and quite frankly, their enemies are inside the gate as well. Some of them might even be people in your own government, your own top slotters in the military and intel. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a God in heaven. His son was Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, for those who are doing evil and who are on the side of Lucifer, there is still time for you to quit what you're doing. Leave those Browns alone, folks. Leave them alone. Repent of your sin. Seek Jesus Christ. And you still may have hope. If not, you better figure out who you're going to side with, because I'm going to tell you what. In the end, you're going to be wearing asbestos swimming trunks, and you're going to get thrown into the fiery lake, and you're not going to like that one iota as you burn forever in the fiery lake. Those that support Lucifer will find that is their reward. Those that support Lord Jesus Christ will have life everlasting. And ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for an opportunity to come on. Perhaps I'll do it again and come and see you and do the show perhaps again on another time. And I thank you for listening. And God bless everybody. Thank you to Steve Quayle. And good night to them old Fandango Rangers and old River Pirate, wherever they might be.